Well, praise God. I tell you, I about had a fit there a while ago, amen. So what is that? Well, you've never had one, amen. About had a spell. Praise God. Them kids got to popping off, and then the daddy got to popping off, and I got to popping off. I wanted to pop off. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. I don't think the Lord has to knock you over the head to get you to praise Him. I don't think He, and I don't believe He'll ever tell anybody, now that's enough. You just quieten down. You've praised me enough now. He'll never do that. Amen. I guarantee it. How much of our life is given to what is going to be going on in heaven? Most of what we give our attention to in this world will stay here. Amen. Well, I think we ought to be involved in something that's going to be going on in heaven, and you can believe that is praise. Praising the Lord. Amen. A lot of people's got the idea, well, I don't do much of it here, but boy, you wait till I get to heaven. Now, show me in the Bible where you're going to go through this big transformation of your spiritual level. The only two things I know is going to change is your body and your location. Amen. We're going from here to there, and we're going to get lay this body of flesh down and get a glorified body, fashioned like unto His glorious body. Amen. I don't find in the Scripture where you can live half-hearted, you know, have no heart for God, never praise Him, never testify, never serve Him, and then all of a sudden you die or Jesus comes and you go to heaven and abracadabra, wow, man. No, if you're not excited about it now, you won't be excited about it then. That's it. That's right. Amen. Amen. I've already got eternal life now. That's the same life I'm going to have 10 trillion years from tonight. Now don't get too excited about that. I've already got the life. There's not an earthly phase. There's not an earthly phase of it. And then when we die and go to heaven, then it kicks into another gear, into a heavenly phase. No, I've already got eternal life. I've already got that. Don't get excited about that. I've already got heaven's life. Already. Now. And if you're saved, you do also. Are you living? Are you enjoying it? Amen. That's right. God give me eternal life. That takes me to heaven. But now whether I enjoy it is up to me. The enjoyment of the spiritual life is up to me. God will give you eternal life when you believe Him, repent of sin, believe Him, receive Him. But now you live that life, enjoy that life, that's in your hands. Amen. Amen, that's right. Well, let's open our Bibles to a couple of passages in the book of John. John's Gospel, chapter number 4. And then we'll look there just a minute, and then we're going to look over a couple of pages into chapter number 7. So if you'll find those two places, John chapter number 4, if you would. John chapter 4. And then we'll look at John chapter number 7. Lord spoke to my heart today about this passage of Scripture. And we certainly want to be mindful of what the Lord would have for us. I'm here for that purpose. Amen. I am here to try to please the Lord and try to honor Him and try to expose you to the truth of God's Word as He would lay that upon my heart. Amen. John chapter number 4, and it's both passages is very familiar. And we're going to just break in on the conversation that Jesus was having with the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well as we know her to be. Let's start in verse number 10. Well, let's back up. It's hard to find a place to break in. Let's read verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, at which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Verse number 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. That's the kind of water Jesus gives. Living water. Water that will cause you to live. Amen. That's right. Amen. Verse number 11. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, boy, I like that statement, don't you? Thank God Jesus is in the communication business. Hallelujah. Business can pick up in your life in a big time hurry if Jesus will talk to you and you'll listen. Amen. Jesus answered and said unto her, oh, hopefully he'll speak to us tonight. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Making reference to the earthly water that was in Jacob's well. The natural water that was in Jacob's well. The water that will cater to the physical thirst. But Jesus was talking about a different water. A living water that doesn't cater to the physical but to the spiritual. He says in verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And thank God, this woman got saved that day. I believe every indication this woman got saved. But notice there in verse 14, it makes reference to those that get saved, as illustrated with her, that in you, God puts a well in you. God puts a well in you. Amen. An internal, eternal well in you. Amen. Springing up into everlasting life. Now, you can hold your place there, or at least make a mark there. We'll be back and forth. Look at chapter 7 of the Gospel of John, verse number 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst. Is there anybody in here qualified for that? If any man, didn't say if any man's rich, because that would exclude many. It did not say if any man has much abilities. That would exclude many. If any man, possesses good looks, that would exclude many. But if any man thirst, that's the qualification. Are you thirsty tonight? God said in this passage, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said. He that believeth on me is a statement that identifies salvation. Are you listening? He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers, plural, of what kind of water? Of living water. Verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit. He's talking about the Spirit of God when he's talking about the living water. Amen. If you don't have the Spirit of God, friend, you are not saved. Amen. You don't get saved at one point and then some other point way down the road somewhere, you get the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Lord knows them that are his. They are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I'm telling you, when Jesus Christ comes again, he's coming after those that have his Spirit. If you don't have his Spirit, you're not going. Are you listening? It doesn't matter. You can be a church member and not have His Spirit. You can be a moral person and not have His Spirit. You can be a sincere person and not have His Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, God's Word said you're none of His. Amen. Because if you have His Spirit, you have His life. If you have His Spirit, you have His nature. Amen. You see a magnet go over top of pencils, they won't move. You know why? They don't have a common nature. The pencil does not have the nature of the magnet. Amen. Jesus moves across a service and people don't move and people are non-responsive and you know, they're counting holes in the ceiling and thinking about where they're going to be after service. Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. Well, I made a profession. It don't matter if you made 1,000 professions. If you don't have the Holy Spirit of God in you and the divine nature of God in you, you're not His. And when Jesus comes, He's coming after those that have His nature and have His life and have His Spirit. Amen. And there's going to be such a pull that when He comes and steps out on the silver cloud of glory, thank God, we're going to leave this place. Those that don't have His nature will stay here. Amen? Better make sure you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. But this spake He of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I plead the blood tonight, God, that You'd help us. God, that You'd touch us. We need that divine unction. We need that divine power of God. It takes the power of God to do the work of God. Lord, I cannot save anybody. I cannot revive anybody. Lord, I cannot do anything spiritually for anybody in this service. But Lord, You're more than able and more than willing and more than capable of doing that. And Lord, we invite You. We welcome You. We beg of You. Don't leave us to ourselves. Lord, walk among us. Speak to every heart. Deal with every heart in the service tonight. Lord, there's lost people here tonight that needs to be saved by the grace of God. Lord, would You get on their case? Would You get on their case, Lord, and prick their heart and get personal with them? Turn the heat on of conviction in their soul. God, I pray Your will to be done tonight. Lord, we're needy people. Lord, we're needy people, Father. And if You don't help us, Lord, I will surely falter. But I'm looking to You, Father. I'm depending on you to help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, we have the picture of a well. God putting a well inside of a believer. A well that is springing up into everlasting life. And then in John chapter number 7, we have the picture here, or the analogy here, of rivers flowing out of the believer. Amen. Through the Holy Spirit of God. So in chapter 4, we have a God working in a person. And then in John chapter 7, we have God working through His people. Oh yes. And I want to say tonight, God will never work through you until He can work in you. Amen. God must do a work in you before He'll ever do a work through you. Amen. In John chapter 4, we have a well springing up inside the believer. In John 7, in verse 38, we have rivers flowing out of the believer. Now listen, we know this is talking about the Holy Spirit because Jesus said so. This spake He of the Spirit. I want to ask you a question tonight. Where are the rivers? Last time I checked, you can't hide a river. God said, everywhere there's a believer, there should be rivers. Where are the rivers? Where is the activity and the motion and the working and the dealing and the doings of the Holy Spirit? Last time I checked, Brother Harvey, a river's visible. A river is visible. Where is the moving and the working of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives and in our churches? God does not work independent of people. God has chosen and set up His plan and His work to work in people and to work through people. And if there's not a work going on through us, it's our fault. As we grieve Him and quench the Holy Spirit of God. Are you listening? I wonder how many rivers. I wonder how much spiritual moisture is associated with Ridgeview Baptist Church. Well, how many rivers is running through this church into a dry and a barren world? Amen. God help us. The end work of God in chapter 4 speaks of His salvation. The through working of God in chapter 7 speaks of His spirituality. It's the working of His Spirit in a believer. Amen. And I believe that. Every believer possesses the Holy Spirit. But not every believer is possessed of the Holy Spirit. Chapter number 4 talks about what God is doing in us. He puts His Spirit in us. He puts the living will, living water in us. He put salvation in us. Hallelujah. I remember that day. But in chapter 7, He wants the Spirit of God to not just be confined inside of you. He wants the Spirit of God to flow out of your life. Like rivers. I don't see that happening much. I don't know too many churches that's happening in. Are you listening? I don't know too many people that's happening in. I don't know too many preachers that's happening in. I know a lot of people that's got a whale in them, seemingly. Yeah, praise God, saved. But where's the rivers? The end work of God there, the whale in chapter 4 is what God is an inward work of God. The rivers in chapter 7 is the outward works of God. Amen. I like this. Chapter 4, that whale is personal. It's for me. My whale that's inside me, preacher, is not for you. When the Lord showed me that, I about had a spell. That whale is for me. God said, I'm going to put a whale in you for you. The rivers is, I mean, the whale is personal, but the rivers is public. You'll never have a public ministry till you have a private and a personal and an inward and a secret life with God. What's killing us, friend? What's killing our spirituality personally and what's killing our spirituality collectively as a church is superficial Christianity. You say, preacher, what does that mean? That means Christianity on the surface only. It only depends on what person or crowd you're with. Your Christianity only turns on when it turns up this road right here when you come into church. Superficial Christianity will never be an effective Christianity on sinners. We think just because they're lost, they're stupid. Don't we? Come on now. You might as well nod your head like that. Say amen. We think that because sinners are lost that they're ignorant. No, they see through your little shallow, superficial, surface-only Christianity. They see through that. Work around you. They don't have to work around you but just a very short period of time to know that what you claim to have is not much. Amen. You kids, they don't have to do, the young people don't have to be around you long to know that what you've got is just on the surface. We need a revival of realness. That's what we need. People that are real with God, whether anybody's looking. People that have a walk with God, no matter where they are. Oh, yes. Many folk have got a whale in them. But where's the rivers? Oh, help me, Jesus. The whale is personal. It's for me. It meets my needs. Because I'm drinking from the inside. But the rivers is for others. Everybody say that. The rivers is for others. God intends for the well inside of you, the inflow, to become an overflow and then an outflow. God intends when He saves you that your life, or rather the Spirit of God in you, meets your needs, satisfies you, quenches your thirst from the inside. But at the same time, rivers flowing out to others. Sinners are dying of thirst. They have a thirst in them. I did when I was lost. First 20 years of my life, I had a thirst in me, but it was not a thirst for the spiritual things. Are you listening? It was a spiritual thirst. It was a spiritual thirst. It was a thirst for something. I didn't know what it was. I thought maybe if I poured in a little Miller Lowlife, that it would quench the thirst. But it didn't. Why? Because it was a spiritual thirst. You can't pour in the natural and the earthly and the financial and the physical, amen, and the relational and have that thirst quenched. There's only one thing that can quench that thirst, amen. I mean, you can feed it all you want to feed it, but until you give that thirst what it's really thirsting for, amen, you will never be satisfied. That well that God put in me that day, woo! That well that God put in me that day satisfied me. I knew, listen, when I got up out of that altar that night, before I ever told anybody, before I ever said anything, before anybody said anything to me, I knew the search was over. I knew I'd found what my soul had been thirsting for. Oh yes. I'd thought for years that I was thirsting for a party. I thought I was thirsting for pleasure. I thought I was thirsting for prosperity and all of those things. But the more I poured in, and the more I tried to seal off that vacuum, it just kept saying, nope, that wasn't it, more. That wasn't it, more. Amen. But when I got saved, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is a perfect fit for the vacuum in my soul. And when He came in, He sealed off the suction. He sealed off the vacuum. Now I have no hunger for the things of this world. Amen to God. Hallelujah. Don't tell me Jesus can't satisfy you. You're 32 years too late. How to tell me that? My friend said He'll be back. He'll be back to the party. He'll be back. He'll be drinking. He'll be dancing. He'll be doing all of that. Well, I got to tell you, I've been back twice. At their invitation to come and preach twice at my class reunions. Woo! Glory! Amen. I am a trophy of grace. You look at me, if you just see where I once was, if you had just knew me before I knew Him, you'd know the reason why I love Him so. Oh, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the perfect fit. Listen, this woman had a thirst that drove her daily to Jacob's well. She didn't know no different. She didn't know there was another well and another water. She didn't know. Woo! But thank God for chapter 4, verse 1, when Jesus said He must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because He knew there was a rejected woman. There was an outcast woman. There was a wicked woman that was going to be in the heat of the day at Jacob's well. And He said, I've got to go because she needs me. Woo! Thank God! Jesus Christ is all you need! David had it right when he said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Why? Because He satisfied. Thank God. I guess I would ask for us to ask where the river is. I probably should be asking, where's the well? How many people in our church claim to be saved, but where's the activity and the motion of the well? Where's the sloshing around of the well? Where's the bubbling up of the well? Where's the springing up of the well at? Now listen, I know this. I know that there, you don't testify every time you come to church. I mean, you ought to be subject to. Brother Billy Kelly used to say that. He said, I don't shout every time I go to church, but he said, I'm subject to. I know that. I know people don't testify every time, preacher. I know that. Common sense will tell you that. But I'm telling you, dear friend, for people to sit week after week and month after month, and I've got some in my church, I'm talking year after year, and never, not even in a glory service, testifies. Never. Something's wrong with that. He didn't just put a well in her. He put a well springing up in her. Amen. Well, preacher, I'm just kindly backwards, you know. No, backwards is not your personality. Backwards is your direction. Because I promise you, as reserved as you claim to be, you're going to talk about what you're excited about. If it's a big deer or a big fish or an amen or getting some money or getting a promotion or something, you're going to amen, talk about it. Amen. You'll talk about what's big to you. Amen. I find those people that are reserved don't have any problem talking about the world. But they sure have a problem of talking about the well. What's the deal with that? Maybe you're talking about what is springing up to you. Maybe you're more excited about the world's action and activity around you rather than the spiritual activity inside of you. Yeah, people get excited about what's big to them. Brother Mark Green, he's my adult Sunday school teacher. His little girl, he was asking her, she's not even saved, little girl. He said, honey, do you know what the state flag is? Have you ever seen the Tennessee state flag? And she said, oh yeah. You know, she's acting like, yeah, I know. He said, really? You've seen the state flag? She said, yeah, I've seen it. You know what it looks like? Yeah, I know what it looks like. And Brother Mark said, well, honey, what does it look like? She said, the state flag is bright orange and got a big T on it. She was serious as a heart attack. I mean, she wasn't just kidding. She thought, sure enough, that was the state flag. And that probably is the flag that many of you fly. That is your banner. Talk about the balls, man. They'll get excited. They'll go sit on bleachers and scream and holler at zero and paid to go. Hey, man, but come to church. Well, I think we need to be reserved. It's a shame and a disgrace that the quietest place in town is the house of God. And I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm not talking about wildfire. I'm talking about true believers are falling head over heels in love with Jesus Christ. Yeah. Thank God that well is personal. You see, it don't matter about what goes on in the economy. Because I'm not drinking from without. Are you listening? I mean, back when the election took place, or whatever they called that was supposed to have been an election, I didn't get the president I wanted, but I still got the king I want. That's why I didn't get the poochie lip. That's why I didn't roll over and face the wall and say, well, it looks like we're gone now. We're going under now. No, I still got King Jesus. Amen. I still know Him. He still knows me. He's not feeling bad. He don't even have to take a baby aspirin. Amen. He's on the throne. His plan is in motion. Hallelujah. Glory. Hey, I'm about to get excited. Lord, help us, Jesus. Are you listening? That well, listen, the well is for my enjoyment. I get to enjoy it. Yeah. Do I look like I'm having a terrible time tonight? Do I need to go sit in classes? I've been saved 32 years. January 20th of this year, 32 years. Amen. And it's still good. It's still good. Hey, hey, I don't need recapped, remodeled, refurnished, refired. I'm telling you what God did that day is still bubbling up and still exciting to my soul. The well is for my enjoyment. The rivers is my extension. It's my influence. The Spirit of God using me. Preach, I believe every saved person wants to be used of God. How many saved folk that sit on pews of our churches that never entertain the thought, Lord, why did you save me? What purpose did you save me for? I can just tell you right now, God didn't save you just to save you. God saved you to use you, to get glory out of your life, to accomplish His will through you. A lot of people go to church, don't even know the purpose for which God saved them. Philippians 3, Paul said, I want to apprehend. That means I want to lay hold on. I want to bring into custody. I want to apprehend that for which I have been apprehended of Christ Jesus. Jesus, you laid hold on me for something and now I want to lay hold on it. You ever wondered why so many people in church got wells in them and they're miserable? You're keeping your well from turning into rivers by not submitting to the will of God. Amen. Thank God, I enjoy being saved. Surely you ought to know that by now. Amen. I enjoy being saved. Thank God. Can you give any reports? Can you give any testimonies of your experience with God? Can you tell anything about a time when you was meeting with God in private or driving down the road and God got in the car with you? You've never had God to get in the car with you to the point that you don't have to pull over or do have to pull over. You don't know what you're missing. Or to get in the prayer room, prayer closet, or go up on the mountain to pray. Nobody's around. And God gets so thick and so real to you that you say, God, and I did this once. And I said, God, I'll never do it again. I asked Him to take it off of me. I thought it was going to kill me. The glory of God was so thick, buddy, I thought I was leaving here. And I said, God, you got to take some of this off of me. And He did. I crawled out of there and I got to thinking just what a stupid thing I just asked for. And I said, Lord, I'll never, ever ask you to take it off of me again if it does kill me. Brother Harvey, wouldn't that be something? Come through the pearly gates and they say, hey, what happened to you? Was it a car wreck? Somebody shoot you? Heart attack? What happened? An overdose of glory! Hey, we need a revival where people ODs on God. Lord, help me. I'm just getting started. Help me, Jesus. The well is what my salvation does for me. The rivers is what my salvation does for others. And you can count on it. If your salvation don't do anything for you, I promise you, your salvation won't do anything for somebody else. Hey, don't worry about the rivers if you got well problems. No well guarantees no rivers. Amen. Where's that springing up of the wells? And where is the flowing out of the rivers of the Spirit of God in our life? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm having a time. In John chapter 4, Jesus exposed her to the well. She didn't know nothing about it. The only well she knew about was Jacob's well. Are you listening to the preacher? That's all she knew. Some of you in here, the only well you know, the only water you know, is the wells of the world. The water that the world can give that doesn't quench thirst. You have to keep going back and back and back again, and you keep doing it, and you have to keep drinking it, and you have to keep smoking it, and you have to keep snorting it, and you have to keep, amen, and whatever else, you just have to keep doing it. Why? It cannot satisfy. The world cannot satisfy. Jesus only can satisfy. Are you listening? So Jesus exposed her to the well. For the first time, she found out there's another well besides Jacob's well. You remember when Jesus, through the preaching or through the printed page of the Word of God, exposed you to the well that you really needed? Amen. And that the well that you'd been drinking out of and going to try to find satisfaction is not working. Think about it. Think about it. Those many times that you went to that well of pleasure and it hadn't satisfied you yet. What makes you think another trip's going to? But you say, that's right, preacher. But why is it that sinners keep going and going and going and going and going back again? I've seen people hooked on prescription. It's the worst epidemic I've ever seen. People hooked on prescription meds. We just had a young man, same age as me, 52 years old. Some young boys broke in his house. He was a veteran. Broke in his house and said, "Give me your medicine." They knew he had medicine. "Give us your medicine." He wouldn't give them the medicine. And they beat him to death with a hammer and stabbed him multiple times. What for? Pills. A boy in Hendersonville, North Carolina, a few years back got saved. I preached a 3-week meeting there for Brother Chris Norris, Fairhaven Baptist Church. And this boy got saved. You know what? He told me he had a $500 a day heroin addiction. You don't hold down a job and make that kind of money. You've got to resort to thievery and stealing and such as that to fund that addiction. Or sell drugs or something. Amen. But he got saved. I'm talking about gloriously saved, wonderfully saved, hallelujah, saved, life-changing, saved. Needle tracks all up and down his arms. I dealt with him in the altar. And I mean, he was crying out. You could hear him all over the church. And I said, "Are you done with sin?" He said out loud, "Yes, preacher, I'm done with sin. I'm done with drugs. I'm done." I mean, he gave the list. So I didn't hush him up. I let him go. He got saved by the grace of God. I came back on Monday night of the next week to start up that next week of meeting. And there he was. I didn't know it was him initially. I saw this young man on the front porch as I pulled around. And I thought, I wonder who that is. Maybe somebody's heard about the meeting and they drove in or something. I didn't know. So I pulled around, went through the side door, came in, and then this young man came through the back door of and down the aisle. And the closer he got, I said, is that you? Hadn't been saved but just a couple of days and already got a haircut. Amen. Already, amen. Got on a tie, a suit and tie. I don't know where he got that. But I didn't even know him. I didn't even recognize him. And he's still serving God today, preacher. I'm so sick of seeing people claim to get saved and they flop in and flop out and act like they got, you know, act like they got the whale. And the next thing, you know, they're back out there doing what they did do. And hey, something's wrong. You claim to have a whale in you that Jesus put there, and then you keep going back to Jacob's whale. Something's wrong with that picture. Because when this woman in John 4 got the whale in her, she left her water pot. You know what that implied? Won't be back here no more. I won't need Jacob's water no more. I've got Jesus' water. Thank God I've got a whale on the inside and it's springing up into everlasting life. Jesus exposed her to this whale. The exposure to the whale. And then there's the entrance of this whale. How did the whale get in her? She said there, listen, after he exposed her to the whale, here's what she said. Now, this is neat. This is going to be real complicated. It's real complicated. You have to really listen now again. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water. Hey! How does the whale, she got exposed to the whale? Praise God. God's exposing somebody in here tonight that there's a whale that's not of this world. A whale that is out of this world. A whale that springs up forever and ever and ever. You're being exposed to that tonight. You realize I don't have that preacher. I need to be saved. All I've ever thought is I need what the world can give. But oh, that's not it. I need Jesus as well. On the inside, she said, give me. When the request of give me is said to the gift, business is going to pick up. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad it's not of works. Give me doesn't mean I'm working for it. Give me doesn't mean I've got money to buy it. Give me means I don't have nothing and you've got it and you said you'd give it. If I want it, I want it. Give it to me. Thank God. That's how you get saved. Hallelujah. Woo! If I wasn't so dignified, I'd have a run-in fit. Hey, man. I feel that sloshing around in there even tonight, praise God. The exposure of that whale, the entrance of that whale, and then there's the excitement of that whale. Woo! Hey, the excitement of that well. He said it's going to be in you and it's going to be springing up into everlasting life. Have you ever heard this word, effervescence? You ever heard that word? Thank God that well on the inside's got that bubbly. Have you ever got bubbly? Have you ever got bubbly over salvation? I watched this man right here. We sung that song a while ago. I know my name's there. I saw him bubbling. He's bubbling now. Amen. Spring up, oh well. Amen. I like to get around somebody that's bubbly. Amen. Because more than likely some of it's going to get on me. Hey. How in the world can you have well in you and rivers running out of you and you not get wet? Well, glory. Amen. Amen. He said that well is going to be springing up. I wrote this down. It's this. I wrote this down. Springing up. You know why it was springing up? Brother Harvey, you know why it's springing up? Because of the force of the inflow. Y'all didn't get that. In other words, what was coming in was more than could be handled. what was coming in was coming up. Hey, glory to God, that's salvation. Hey man, I got exposed to that well. January 20th, 1981, I said, give me this water. And the well came on the inside, but I discovered that it's a well springing up. I found out there's an inflow, and it's continual, and it's forceful. It didn't say spring up, stop, spring up, stop, spring up, stop, like Baptist. Excited on Sunday, dry and dead on Monday. Shout revival service, and then pout after it's over. No, he said springing, I-N-G, springing up. How long? Y'all need to get that. Springing up into everlasting life. The bubbly stuff of this world fizzes out. The bubbly water of Jesus gives fizzes up. That's what effervescence means. It fizzes and it's got some life to it. I don't want to drink nothing dead. You? I like it when it's got some bubbles to it and fizz and sizzling. And I like that. I'm asking you, listen, this is elementary preaching, but where is the well? Where's the well at in our church? We've got, Brother Harvey, we've got people in our churches, and probably some here tonight, you can't remember the last time you got excited about what's in you or who's in you. Isn't that the truth? Well, preacher, I just kind of get excited on the inside secretly, and you know, I just kind of does it on the inside. Yeah. Yeah. I don't believe a word of that. That springing up into everlasting life. And by the way, I've already got that now. This well is not given to me in heaven. Hey, glory. This well, thank you, Jesus. This well's in me now and in you now. And it springs up into everlasting life. So I've already got the well, and I've already got the springing up, and I've already got the everlasting life. So what's the problem? Well, I better get off that. Listen to this. The springing up, listen, he said there'll be in you a well. That's initial. Springing up is progressive. Can I make this simple, simple statement? Salvation does not stop the day it starts. I got saved today, and then never hear nothing else out of them, never see nothing else out of them. It started and it stopped, seemingly, the same day. No, 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 no. The work that God does in you. Let's just quote Philippians 1:6. Don't matter about my opinion. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Springing up. Springing up. It's springing up because of the force of the inflow. It's springing up because of the direction of the inflow. I like that. Now let's just get mountain sense here. Everybody's filled with springs and wells and all that. If something is springing up, that means the inflow is coming in low and the direction of it is upward. Upward. The direction of God's salvation in your life. I know you're not going to believe this, but it's going to start low, and it's to take and propel you upward. And your life should be a springing up life toward God. Now we talk about, now listen, and I would never minimize the day of salvation. It was a wonderful day, great day, glorious day in my life. And still is. Now I'm going to tell you, brother, the well came in on January the 20th, but it's been springing up ever since. And you'll have to let God show you this, but getting saved is the little end. As great as it is, how inexpressible as it is, how incomprehensible it is, we can't get a hold of how good, how big, how wonderful salvation is, but it's the little end. It's just the start. It's the getting on part. I turn around and I can see where it started. Then I turn around and look in the eternity future and I see no end. Hey! It started, but it'll never stop. And the further we go, the bigger it's going to get. That's why we're going to have a glorified body to stand it. If God just broke out on us all of His glory, it'd kill us immediately. In fact, that's how He's going to win the battle of Armageddon. He's going to walk through there and He's going to speak that sharp two-edged sword out of His mouth and the brightness of His glory. And people, their flesh is going to just melt off the bones. And all of us that are riding the white, you'll say, I don't believe that white horse stuff. Well, that's why you don't get blessed. You don't believe nothing. We're going to be lying in the mountaintops of the valley of Megiddo. And we're going to be watching the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. He's not coming back as a lamb. He's coming back as a lion of the tribe of Judah. And the armies of the world, and thinks they can put Him out of business. And they're going to meet with Him. And He's going to go by Himself through that army. And He's going to defeat the armies of the world. I don't know what we're going to be doing. We may be on the mountain. Amen. And saying, get them, God. Hey, get them, God. Lord, how'd I get on that? We preach everything from salvation to millennial reign. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Springing up speaks of the force, the direction, speaks of the liveliness. Some of you have got life, but where's the liveliness? That man with the withered hand, it wasn't dead. It didn't need amputated. It had life in it. It was called a hand, just as much as the other. But because of an inward blockage, caused it to be paralyzed. So what was it lacking? Liveliness. Liveliness. Well, let me deal with these rivers here. Lord, I'm just getting... Y'all are done and I'm about done. I'm about shot. Hallelujah to God, amen. I'd rather get excited. I'd rather preach like I pass out about being saved, about the well springing up and the rivers flowing out. Hallelujah. Thank God for the work that God does in a person with the well, and thank God for the work that He does through a person through the rivers. Are you listening? Help us, Lord. Let me just give you this right here. John 14, verse 12. Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. You know what He was talking about? He was talking about when the Holy Spirit comes. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, there's going to be a greater work done. Now, I'm going to say some things right here. I want you to, before you fall out and pass out on me, I want you to listen thoroughly. When Jesus came the first time, His first advent, He did not come to win the world. He came as a sacrifice to pay the sin debt, to make it possible for the world to be saved. Did you know Jesus was not omnipresent? If Jesus Christ had come the first time to win the world, and I know He came to make it possible. He came to redeem. He came to pay the price. He came to satisfy the broken law of God and pay the ransom and be buried and rise again the third day. Amen. But His worldwide global vision was He looked ahead and He said, there's coming a day, greater works shall you do. Because I go to my Father. And we know, He said, even in our passage in John 7, He said the Spirit hadn't come yet because He hadn't ascended. When He ascends, the Spirit of God's coming. Jesus Christ, if He come the first time to win the world, why didn't He come to Wallen, Tennessee? Why didn't He come to Rogersville? Hello? And I know Joseph Smith. I ain't even going to tell you what I think of him. The start of Mormonism. A lying, womanizing. I mean, he lied under oath. It's facts. But anyway, I need to get off that. My blood pressure's going up. Listen, he said that Jesus came to America. He didn't. Jesus never traveled far from where He was born. The whole 33 and a half years that He was alive. Because He didn't come the first time, my friend, to come to Rogersville and to Wallen and to Maryville and to Knoxville. He come to pay the price, to be the lamb, to be the sacrifice. And He turned around and knew that He was going to send the Holy Ghost. Amen. And He was going to indwell every believer everywhere. Everywhere there's a believer, there's going to be rivers. Amen. 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 God is dependent on you. The Spirit of God working through you to be the rivers that this dry and thirsty land needs. Boy, you think about that. That helped me, I'm telling you, my soul. Everywhere there's a believer, there should be rivers. I'm done. Rivers are universal. Rivers are the handiwork of God. When you look at a river, you know man didn't do that. Man can't make a river. God makes a river. When people see rivers coming out of your life, they don't know God in that. God is doing that. Rivers cannot be stopped by storms. Do you know that? Rivers cannot be stopped by storms. In fact, storms enhances the rivers. Makes them get big and sometimes out of the banks. Rivers are not stopped by rough places. In fact, the rough places give the river its song. Rivers is a force, but is not forced. Sign, that's good. Rivers is a force, but is not forced. In fact, the Bible said it flows. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know what keeps a river flowing? Don't let nobody see you, but go out to the nearest river and talk to it. Why are you flowing? I said, don't let nobody see you. They'll call the men in the white coat. Why are you flowing? And the river's going to speak back and say, there's always more coming. Where this come from? Rivers are it's flowing out of our life. Constantly, more coming, more coming, more coming. That's why the Christian life should never be boring. Amen. Listen to this. Rivers are visible. Rivers are far-reaching. Rivers don't stop just at the county line or at the church doors. Rivers, oh, this is good. Rivers keep running. And they're headed to the big water. Rivers are constantly being fed. And the further they go, the bigger they get. And they're not going to be satisfied till they go to the big water. Well, I'm enjoying it. I don't know about anybody else. Rivers are constant. Rivers are universal. Rivers are unstoppable. Rivers, everything above ground comes from underground. Oh, yeah. There's so many applications to rivers. It's just unbelievable. But my burden tonight has been, where's the springing up of the wells in people's lives? Because there's no need to talk about where's the rivers if we don't. Well, I mean, where's the wells? Where's that springing up? Where's that bubbling spiritual life that God's people are supposed to have? Where's that at? Where's the rivers? Did you know it's impossible for there to be a drought where there's rivers? People around you drying up, you know whose fault that is? If it's dry where you live and dry where you work, dry where you go to school, you know whose fault that is? If you're saved, it's your fault. The well is on the inside. It satisfies you. It's for you. It's for your enjoyment. It quenches your thirst. But the rivers coming out of you is for others. Where's the springing up of the wells? And where is the flowing out of the rivers? Let's all stand our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to thank You for giving us such undeserved liberty, Lord, to preach the Word of God. Lord, this message, dear Father, is working in my own heart and stirring in my heart. Lord, we are in desperate need of a revival of the wells that are springing up and a revival of the flowing out of rivers. And God's people are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we should have rivers flowing out of our life. Lord, we should want to be used. We should want to be influential to other people. Sinners all around us are lost people that need a drink of the living water. They need to be satisfied with the one that only can satisfy. But many of them don't even know about that well. All they know of is the world's well. Lord, should we not? No doubt we should tell them. We should tell them with our lips and tell them with our lives that there's another well that comes from Jesus that goes on the inside and satisfies us from within, quenches our thirst from within, contents our heart from within. And then, Lord, I know You desire to use us. You desire rivers to flow out of our bellies, out of our center of our being. You desire rivers to flow out. Lord, these altars, I trust, will be filled with people that say, oh God, I want the springing up of the well again in my life. I once had that, but I don't have it now. I've allowed my well to be dormant and inactive. God, I want to get my joy back. I want to get my shout, my song, my excitement back. And then, Lord, I want You to use me. I want to commit my life here and now to be a source from which You can flow rivers through our lives. But there's no question about it, Lord. Early on in the message, dear God, it was very evident that You, no doubt, were speaking to somebody about being saved. Lord, I pray You'll help them to know that whatever it is that they're trying to satisfy the yearnings and the thirstings of their soul, if it's from this world, it cannot satisfy. And they already know that. The time and again that they went to those wells, it has not satisfied. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink. Lord, I pray You help sinners to come tonight and be saved. But may the saints of God lead the way. as they are interested tonight in the wells springing up and the rivers flowing out. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.